Blog Talk Radio. I am legend. I am life, I am deadly. I am sharp, I am weapon. Left or the right direction. I am son, I am husband. I am nephew, I am cousin. But if their eyes just the same, I'll always remain nothing. I am on, I am off. On my own as I walk. I am strong, I am tough. I am over as I walk. I am above overall. I am love, I am wealth. I am loyalty in a job. I am who I are. I am everything that they aren't. I am everything but a star. I am only original. I am me, I am I am down to earth, I am fly. Am I here for a reason, God? I am here to find out. I am fear, I am doubt. I am rush, I am mountain down. I am in it till I'm no more in the very last round. I am champ, I am crown. I am last, I am now. I am with the games and listen, I'm just thinking out loud. I am different. I am a tough decision. I am this is where it counts. Yeah, nigga, for detention. I am stiff. I am stern. I am that motherfucker that is not willing to learn. I am heart. I am soul. I am wait. Where did he go? I am so ram rapping the game. Yeah, nigga, I am riddle. I am riddle. I am question. I am answer. I am lesson well done. I am good. I am great. I am proud of who I become. I am real. I am one, and I have only just begun. I am grown. I am young. I am hoping they can't keep up. I'm too deep up in that hole for me to ever give it up. I have won a billion times, but it feels like I'm never up. I am tough. I am built for whatever is soon to come. I am true to my beliefs and know that I am never done. I am holding down my city, wishing everyone could come. I am art. I am righteous, and I shall come something else. Yeah!
Don't play yourself. Austin Brown, you all know it, Target Practice. Austin has finally announced the release of his album. So you all follow him on Twitter, at Austin Brown. Friend him on Facebook, Austin Brown. His website, Austin Brown. His YouTube channel, Real Austin Brown. And, of course, before that, you heard I am me and Mars Mills, my dear friend Mars Mills. Again, before I go any farther, thank you for listening to Culture Shock Entertainment Reports on this manic morning. You can call 714-409-0614 and also chat with me in the chat room. My regulars aren't in. What kind of night did they have last night in the chat room? And I just, again, I tweeted this morning just showing and thanking my listeners worldwide. I really appreciate you all. It's morning here in the States, but it's not in other parts of the world. And so I thank you so much for your support and your continued feedback, your constructive criticisms, your love, encouraging great topics, because never run out of entertainment lifestyle topics. Plus, I just thank those that get co-host with me, like both my friends who are based in Dallas-Fort Worth, Reg Roughneck and Mike That Dude Smith. Mike will return soon, you all. He's Mike That Dude. And also those that have been guests on the show. And remember, this coming Friday, one of my longtime friends, former schoolmate, Mr. Kevin Dorsey, and his cousin, who's his business partner, Mr. Ted Anderson, will be guests on Sports Friday edition. Because Kevin, many of you in the tennis world know of Kevin. He's a professional tennis player, but he's a business owner, a businessman here in the metropolitan area. And he and his cousin are going to talk about their new car dealership that they have opened right here in the Jackson area. And so it's going to be fun. So we're going to talk not only sports on Friday, but we're going to talk business. And you all know I get so excited when we talk about business and just entrepreneurial ventures. It's just so exciting to see and hear success stories and also what people experience. You know, we all experience our ups and downs, and that, you know, hey, you can overcome things. It's so encouraging because, you know, I know it's encouraging to you because it's encouraging to me because I have my days. We have a special listener, someone who I always talk about, always. My cousin, who's based in Dallas also, and I hopefully she would like to talk a little bit with us this morning. And I'm talking about my cousin. Those of you who are listening worldwide, in England and Paris, my cousin's a jet setter. She loves those places and other places also. And so I love it when I hear from my listeners in those just worldwide anyway, but hopefully she would like to share some insight with us this morning. She is the author of the book, Myrna's Adventure, and in the near future, we're going to devote like the whole show to only my cousin, because she definitely has a story to tell, but I'm going to be quiet and see if she would like to say hello to the listening audience, because I've told you all so much, and her name is Miss Linda White Oliver. Based in Big D, and you need to get her book, Myrna's Adventure, and so she's probably, I'll just say hi and see what's up with her. And you're talking about, you know, on Mondays we usually talk about health, and right now I'm checking out DineWise, and you know, I like to share information with you all from one of the chefs with DineWise, Home Bistro, and so if you don't have their most recent catalog of prepared meals, gourmet meals, check it out. Order, go to DineWise.com and check out their menu of prepared meals. I'm talking about from low-sodium meals to senior meals to low-carb meals, just healthy lifestyle meals, diabetic meals, weight loss meals. I've always loved this right here, Home Bistro, DineWise.com. And like I said, I love to share information that they email me via their newsletter from their chef, and you all know this. So if you don't have their catalog, have never visited DineWise Facebook.com, please do this morning, because we all want to live healthier lives, regardless if you want to maintain your weight or lose weight or gain weight. And it's just so important for us to do our best to remain healthy and do our best to try to extend our life, the longevity of our lives. So since we have a special guest listener, and I hope she wants to say a few words just to say hello, and you all can tell I'm super excited. I get excited, don't I, when I have special guests. So say hi to my cousin Linda, Miss Linda White Oliver, author of Learner's Adventure. Good morning, Cousin Linda.
Good morning, Cousin Bethany. How are you?
I am blessed. I'm so excited and so happy that you are on the line. And I know you can just hear me rambling on and probably saying, okay, enough is enough.
Yeah, I am so glad I finally got a chance to call in. I set my alarm clock and everything to make sure I get on time. And when I logged in, all I got was hold music, and I said, well, I guess it's a bummer again because I missed you. I think that was Saturday morning I was trying to listen. So I'm glad to be a part of your audience, and I love your show. I love the blog and everything, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I hope I can live up to it.
Oh, you are, most definitely. Thank you. You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going on? Tell us about. You can talk about anything, and we all on Mondays we especially talk about healthy living, and just and I know that you live a holistic lifestyle. So if you want to share anything about, just share a healthy tip. I mean, those.
Okay. Yeah, I do try to live as healthily as possible. However, I had a hankering for some Polska kielbasa yesterday,
okay.
And I ate that, against my better judgment. It was way too salty, but I do like to incorporate a lot of fruits and fresh vegetables into my diet and try to, stay away from the bad stuff. I like to eat nuts and seeds and all that. Now, a place where I get a lot of good information is the peoplespharmacy.com website. Joe and Terry Grayton, they do a lot of information talking about alternatives to conventional medicine and prescription drugs and all that. So it's peoplespharmacy.com.
Okay, peoples or people?
peoplespharmacy.com.
Wow. Okay, and the couple's name is?
Joe and Terry Grayton, and I think it's spelled G-R-A-E-O-D-E-N or something like that. They broadcast on your public radio stations, like NPR, National Public Radio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love public radio.
I thought I had been sending you some of their emails, because when I see information on what to do about migraine headaches or mm-hmm. leg cramps and all that, I will usually pass that information on. So
yeah, you sure do. I do recognize that, and I remember you told me a couple years ago about the couple. And so it's peoplespharmacy.com listeners, because my listening audience are definitely health conscious. And many personal trainers listen, and those that just want to live healthier lives love to network with one another. I'm amazed that when the show isn't on air, the people that I hear from. So I don't know if you want to share your information, your email address or not, but people go ahead and contact peoplespharmacy.com.
Right. And yeah. If that's not the right address, then I'll and usually I have a lot of their emails in my file, and of course right now since we're discussing it, I can't find a one. I think I've sent all the information out and just deleted those because I'm getting ready to change my ISP provider
uh-huh.
tomorrow. So I was deleting a lot of old stuff, but I'm also into acupuncture.
I was hoping you would mention that. I wanted to mention that. Okay.
Yeah, and there is a real good acupuncturist over here in Plano, Texas, Dr. Al Ahmad on Parker Road in Plano. Back in the 90s when I was having all kinds of pain, like suffering from sciatica and fibromyalgia and all that. And I knew if I went to a conventional doctor, the first thing he was going to say is, well, it's probably arthritis. Can't find anything wrong with you. Here, take this prescription.
Oh.
And I decided I didn't want to live like that, being hooked on drugs and everything. So one of my coworkers at the time recommended this acupuncturist because I was going to a Chinese guy. And I went to Dr. Ahmad, and that was one of the best things that ever could have happened to me. I think God sent me to him. After about 3 treatments, I began to feel better, and after about 8 treatments, I mean, it was like I was completely cured. No more aches and pains, and that was in, I think, around 93 or 94 or something. No, I'm sorry, 2002, or somewhere between 2002 and 2004, and I felt good ever since. And I used to go, you know, back and forth just for maintenance or whatever. And it was just so helpful. It helps you relax and you get to meditate and all good stuff. I can't say enough about acupuncture.
Wow. And his name is Dr. Al Ahmad.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
A-H-M-A-D.
In Plano, Texas. Yeah, I remember when you told me about that. Wow. So he would definitely be getting a lot of phone calls and emails this week. Those of you that know my cousin Linda, and those of you that will meet her soon, I'm not going to say her age, but
you can tell them this. I don't mind.
You would guess that she's in her 30s. Honestly. I mean, she's doing the right thing.
See, you're so sweet, Beth. Thank you.
I mean, I'm telling the truth. I mean, honestly. So you can share your age, because I feel like I'm filming if I do tell your age, because you don't.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm 63. I was 63 in November.
Yes. She and my Aunt Christine, who I talk about a lot also, they share the same birthday.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
So, yes, this is just great. I'm just. Tell us something. I know you're coming back soon to talk more about your just your life period and your experience writing Myrna's Adventure.
Oh, Myrna's Adventure took about 5 years for me to complete. And it was something I had wanted to do ever since I was a child. When I was in elementary school, I used to like to write rhymes and short stories, and that continued all up through college. And to me, I never got the kind of encouragement from my teachers that I needed. Excuse me, a couple of teachers in elementary school would always say that my writings were the best, but they never asked if I wanted to pursue a career in writing, which I did. And after I got laid off, or had to take early retirement from AT&T in Plano, I had a lot of time on my hands, and I had started writing Myrna's Adventure. And I decided to just go ahead and finish it. And I submitted the manuscript to a couple of publishers who promptly rejected it. You know how crushing that can be. And I finally was able to get in touch with this self-publication company, Ex Libris.
Yes.
And, I went back and forth with them quite a bit because I don't think these people are Americans or English is their first language, because when I had them editing my book, that was extremely difficult because a lot of American slang is in there, which the people at Ex Libris didn't apparently recognize as American slang, so they would do what they thought was correcting it. And
oh.
So we were doing this, by emailing, and I'd have to read that whole manuscript online and correct not only my errors but their errors. And so when people get the book, they'll probably see, well, this isn't spelled correctly, you know, a few typos or something. And I finally just gave up and told them, look, just print the book as is, mistakes and all. But I got a lot of, after, you know, got published and everything, I did get a lot of public, I mean, positive feedback from my coworkers and the friends who bought it and read it. So I'm happy with it. If I don't, you do a follow-up. A couple people have asked me to do a follow-up because it ends kind of abruptly. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that. I said, well, I don't know if I just want to tackle this again, having to go through self-publication. But now Ex Libris does quite a bit. They will edit your material. They will print books up. And you, in your package, I got the most basic package. You get about 15 free books. You get postcards and bookmarks and everything with how to sell, I mean, where you can sell your book or market it. You get some nice posters and everything, and you can get the book through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, which is BN.com, I think.
I purchased
or you
mine.
Can order it.
Noble, mm-hmm. Noble, yes.
Barnes & Noble, yeah, and you can get them on Kindle and e-books. And all the other self-publishers that I had contacted didn't provide that service. So I guess sweating out with these people on the editing was worth it. Because I even saw where I had a sale in the U.K., and Beth, I think that probably came from some of your listeners because I had done
yes.
marketing in the U.K. I said, that must
yes,
be one of Beth and his customers.
They're listening right now, so say hi. This is worldwide, and that's what I was telling my listeners. Hey, UK, one of your favorite places.
Oh, yeah. Go London. I'm happy for the Olympics. Hope America does great, and the UK as well.
Yes,
I want to give you a shout-out. It's afternoon over there now.
Exactly. That's what I try to, you know, remind my American listeners, that the listeners overseas, it's like afternoon and evening. So it's afternoon right now. So good afternoon.
Yeah.
At the Olympics, too. I am so excited.
Yes. I'm not going to be able to attend, which I've been watching all the buildup on TV, and I was saying I wish I was there. And I also make donations to our U.S. Olympics team. You get, like, a nice little fleece jacket if you make a donation of $20.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get a lot of free labels for your post. I know a lot of people don't do snail mail anymore, but I'm trying to help the post office, so I mail as much stuff as possible.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anybody out there still wanting to contribute to our U.S. Olympics team, they can do that.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness, you have me speechless now. Yes, indeed. And I do share with when I'm always bragging about you and your work and your travels and your author and authoring the book, I talk about also, which a lot of listeners love to know about, being based in Jackson, Mississippi, love to hear about the civil rights movement. And I always mention the fact that you are actively a part of the civil rights movement. And I don't know if you want to elaborate on it, but I would definitely love to read a book written by you about your life experiences,
You know, Beth, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about doing a book on that. Myrna's Adventure is based during the time right after the Civil Rights Movement, after Black Americans got our so-called freedom or whatever.
Yeah.
I did think about that and kind of incorporated a little bit of that in the book. But, yeah, I was a little 14-year-old greenhorn fighting for my freedom back in the summer of 1963, I believe. It was the year that Medgar Evers got killed that summer because, actually, yeah, Medgar was arranging for me and some of my friends to try to integrate a Primo's restaurant. Beth, you're familiar with Primo's restaurants, aren't you?
Exactly, yes. You listen like
yeah.
this? She knew Medgar Evers. She worked and volunteered with Medgar Evers.
Yes,
okay.
I sure did. He would have me and a lot of the kids because we were, you know, not working and not in school in the summertime, and we were the ones who were a lot of times instrumental in being in the demonstrations. The Jackson authorities called it parading without a permit. And, of course, we knew we were going to get arrested. That was part of the tactic to draw attention to what we were doing, and like I said, fighting for freedom of black people and minorities everywhere. Yeah, yes. And the day that were late that night, Medgar was killed. That afternoon, we were at the Masonic Temple on Lynch Street. Me,
yes.
With Fred Jackson, Francine Johnson, Shirley Catchings, who's deceased now, Derek Taylor. I haven't been in contact with Derek in a long time, but those are some of the people that I remember, probably Bobby Sue McNair. We were going to go to Primo's restaurant on Lamar Street in Jackson.
Yes.
And we knew, yeah, we were prepared to go to jail because we knew we were going to get arrested. And I was staying at my grandmother's house that night, Beth,
yes.
When we got a phone call, yeah, from Aunt Chris about 1 o'clock in the morning saying that Medgar Evers had been killed.
Oh.
And I tell you, yeah, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, I just saw him this afternoon. You know, it can't be.
Oh, my God. Tears are about to come out of my eyes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was horrible to have been that close to. And we just took him for granted. We just knew him as, he allowed us to call him Medgar. He was just the nicest.
Mr. Evers or Mr. Medgar. Oh, my God.
He was so nice and kind and sweet.
How old was he at that time? He was.
Huh?
How old was Medgar at that time?
I don't know. He was a young man. I think he was in his 30s or something. I can't remember. He wasn't much older than we were, but like I said, he allowed us to call him Medgar. I remember him calling my friend Shirley, Miss Catchings, because he knew her and her family quite well.
She was a little girl, and he would call her Miss Catchings.
Uh-huh. He was just that kind of a man. He was so kind and respectful. Even though we were little children, we were teenagers, I'd say. But there were some young kids who were involved. And the police department didn't care how young you were. You were getting in that paddy wagon or on the back of a garbage truck and going to jail.
I know Mother talks of the time you were arrested all the time. She and I talk about that often, and Mother talks about when your cousin Linda was arrested.
Yeah, I got arrested 2 times, Beth. The first time, I only stayed in jail about 18 hours. You know, it was a slew of us down there, kids from Lanier, Brinkley, Jim Hill, and everybody just loved everybody. You know, there was no rivalry among those schools. And I stayed 18 hours. I think my mother and my stepfather, AJ, came to pick me up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was talking to my neighbor who was in jail with me, Vera Mae Thomas. It's amazing how I can remember all this stuff way back. Yeah, and the old police came. And we were down at the compound at the Jackson Fairgrounds at the Coliseum. We were down there in one of the places where they housed livestock. And the police called my name, Linda White. Your parents here to pick you up. And so I said, bye, Vera Mae. So I left Vera Mae because if you were younger than 18, you got to go home whenever your parents came to pick you up. So I had gotten arrested that afternoon, and I never did ask my mother, you know, like 3 o'clock in the morning, why are y'all down here this time of night? I was kind of glad to get out. The second time we got arrested, there was a big demonstration on Lynch Street. And when I say demonstration, that means that, you know, we've blocked the streets off and we were out there marching and protesting signs and everything. And, of course, the police department sends out the paddy wagons, the German Shepherd dogs that they would sic on us.
Aww.
And garbage trucks, yeah. And Beth, this time when I got arrested, I was in a garbage truck, on the back of a garbage truck. And you know cousin Doris White's husband, Tommy Lee? Tommy Lee saved my life, Beth. I was the last one to get in that truck, and it was nowhere for me to sit. So I was hanging on a rope. They had an old long rope hanging from the top of the garbage truck.
No.
And I was hanging up, yeah, and I was hanging on to that thing, and I had no idea that when the truck pulled off, I was going to swing out of the back of that truck. And
saved your life for real.
He did. Tommy Lee was astute enough to know that when that truck took off, I was going to go flying out of it. And Tommy Lee grabbed me by my waist and held on to me until they dropped us off down at the fairgrounds. And I don't think I've ever had a chance to tell him, Tommy Lee, thank you for saving my life. You know, it was just something I took for granted.
So hopefully they're listening. Cousin Linda is saying thank you until she sees you all real soon. Cousin Michael, I'm sure, is listening to the show. And so he's probably like, what?
Yeah. And
so
look,
Michael, we're talking about Cousin Michael's parents. Cousin Michael, I talk about him a lot also in Atlanta. And so, wow.
Yeah, well, anyway, when we got down to the jail, you know, I knew this was going to be like another little 18-hour stint. Yeah, I'm going to go down here, and my mama and them going to come get me about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So I got real cool, relaxed, and I was down there with my friends, Quinstella Loper, Ann Ketchin. And look, Beth, now when we were down there the first time, they let people bring us food from the outside. This time, they wouldn't let people bring us food. Our parents couldn't bring us food anymore, but they could bring us cigarettes. I mean, it was like a free-for-all everywhere. So we down there, and I didn't even smoke. And then I had about 4 or 5 cigarettes in my mouth. You know, we were lighting up, just having a good time, making friends, like I said, with kids from Lanier, Brinkley, Jim Hill, people we didn't even know, just having the best time. So then the police comes in and announces that anybody 18 or older could go home. Anybody younger than 18 was going to be down there indefinitely. They didn't know how long.
Oh,
Dad,
my God.
You don't know how that hit me. Yeah, I spent 7 days in jail.
No way.
And it was like, Beth, it
not
was
7 days.
Yes, ma'am, a week. It was like real prison. We had to wash our dishes. They would wake us up early in the morning for breakfast, and we had prison food. We had biscuits and syrup and grits, and they were served on these old tin plates, aluminum,
okay,
I guess.
Okay, Mitt Romney, when he visited Jackson about a month ago, he loved those grits, Cousin Linda.
Who did?
Mitt Romney, when he visited Jackson. He had
the
cheesy grits, and
we didn't have cheesy grits. We had plain grits, and I used to love grits and everything. But after having to wash that big aluminum hot tray in a big like 50-gallon drum of boiling water, and the water from that, the heat from the water would heat up that aluminum steel tray. And it would just be hot. And you know how hot it gets in Mississippi in the summertime. There was no air conditioning down there. And you would have to go up after you finished washing your tray or whatever it was. You'd have to go up to a police officer so he could inspect it. And if it wasn't clean, you had to go back to the end of the line until you passed inspection. Now, Beth, you know I don't know anything about washing dishes.
No.
So, I'd be out there just about all morning trying to get my tray clean with that grit residue on there. I stopped eating grits. I said, I can't clean my tray, you know, to pass inspection, so I'm not going to risk getting grits. And,
exactly.
And way before the Afro got popular, our little hair had gotten nappy and was sticking all up over our heads. I lost weight. Yeah, the food was horrible.
Wow.
Just horrible. One day they gave us some decent food, black-eyed peas and salt pork and cornbread. I remember that when that was about the only meal I could eat. And I think it was probably because I was literally starving. I was so hungry until that stuff started tasting good. And,
end this morning's broadcast, you can call back on Wednesday. Wednesday, I always talk about conditions of the heart. And I know you have a lot of advice to share regarding love, relationships, dating.
Are you kidding?
So feel free to call back Wednesday to share your perspective on love and life and dating.
Yeah, okay, Beth, only for you. I'll get up this time of morning.
Yeah, because I know you have a lot of good advice to share.